read in the book of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. I want to skip to verse number 14 of the same chapter. Verse 14 of the same chapter. And they found written in the law which the Lord had commanded by Moses that the children of Israel should dwell in booths on the feast of the seventh month, and that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go forth unto the mount and fetch olive branches and pine branches and myrtle branches and palm branches and branches of thick trees to make booths, as it is written. So the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths, every one upon the roof of his house and in their courts and in the courts of the house of God and in the street of the water gate and in the street of the gate of Ephraim. And all the congregation of them that were come again out of captivity made booths and sat under the booths, for since the days of Jeshua the son of Nun, unto that day had not the children of Israel done so. And there was very great gladness. Somebody said, very great gladness. Also day by day, from the first day unto the last day, he read in the book of the law of God, and they kept the feast 7 days. And on the eighth day there was a solemn assembly according unto the manner. Well, the message that I want to preach tonight is in direct correlation with what I preached on Thursday night. And this is the root of what I preached on Thursday night. I want to take my text from the last sentence in verse number 17, where the Bible said there was very great gladness. I want to talk to you by the help of the Lord tonight about the joy of revival. The joy of revival. Could you lift your hands and let's pray together. And let's ask God that his will would be accomplished in this service. Lord, we love you, God. We're thankful tonight for your word. Praying, God, for an open door of utterance, God. I'm praying, God, for an apostolic Holy Ghost anointing in this house, God. Give us ears to hear and give us a heart to receive whatsoever the Spirit saying to the church tonight. God, I believe that you are a chain breaker. God, you're a mountain mover tonight. You're a healer of all of our infirmities. You're the company keeper and the mind regulator and the heart fixer. I believe, God, you can revive every one of our souls, God, through the preached and anointed word of God. We'll be careful to give you all the praise, all of the glory,
and all of the honor. Somebody said, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's put our hands together one more time and let's give the Lord some praise. Somebody shout, thank God for his word. God bless you tonight. Thank you for standing in honor of his word. You can be seated. Revival, most of you know tonight, brings very great gladness. When a people began to come back to God, when they began to keep his ways, when they returned to his law and to his word and to his will, when people return to God and there is revival in the land, there is always very great gladness. It is such a simplistic solution to most of the world's issues and most of our trials and tribulations. In the simplicity of it, a lot of times in our depth of thinking, we easily miss the solution that God gives us simply by Holy Ghost revival. The word very great gladness, the word gladness there in that phrase and the text that you and I read tonight would simply mean a word called joy. Joy is the spectrum by which God was going to show the nations who he was, because his people had the joy of the Lord when they obeyed his word. And when they came back to his principles and when they began to return to his commandments and statutes, there was a joy that came along with it. And so I want to talk to you tonight a little bit about this.
The setting of this text takes place around 90 years after the nation of Israel had returned from their exile. They had been held in captivity by their enemies for 70 years. It was by the hand of God that they were brought back to their homeland to rebuild the temple of God. We find that after the rebuilding of the temple, the next thing that they did was rebuild the walls around the city of Jerusalem. Our text takes place just after the walls were completed, and we find the people gathered together to hear Ezra the priest read the word of God. They gathered themselves together because the man of God was ordained and commissioned by God to read to them the word of God. Verse number 4 says that he stood on a pulpit made of wood, which they had made for the purpose of reading the word of God. The Bible said that when he opened the book, in the sight of all the people, when he opened the book, all the people stood up and they blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, amen, amen, with the lifting up of their hands. You know, one thing that I get when I read all of this is that we're doing things the Bible way. Some folks wonder, why do you stand so much? Why do you raise your hands? Why do the preachers get loud? Why do people say amen? You know what? We're just doing it like the Bible says to do it. Amen. We're just following the example of the word of the living God. Hallelujah. Amen. And so it says that the priests and Ezra and his priests, they read in the book of the law of God distinctly, and they gave the sense and caused the people to understand the reading. 6 times in this chapter we find the word understanding being used. Understanding is what this chapter really focuses on, not just the word, but understanding that word. I made mention of it this morning that after Brother Harvey witnessed to me about the truth and I got baptized in Jesus' name, he gave me that big family Bible and he said, before you read this, you go down on your knees and ask God to open your understanding that you might understand the scriptures. And so 6 times in this chapter, we find the word understanding used. And I want to tell somebody tonight, the only way to have true, lasting, and genuine revival is to go back to a basic understanding of what the Bible says. Amen. It ain't hard to have revival. Everybody's looking for a formula. Everybody's looking for a secret potion, if you will. But the simplistic answer that God has for every generation is just to go back to his word. Go find out what it says. Have enough spiritual inquisitivity in your heart to say, hey, I want to know what thus saith the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse number 12 said that they made great mirth because they understood the words that were declared unto them. They made great mirth because they understood the words that were declared unto them. The word mirth means gladness, joy, and pleasure. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, the most, I just want to bring this home tonight. One of the most important experiences that you could ever possess is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Right there with that is being baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. Somebody said, why you talk about it so much? Well, this is an apostolic church. This is a Pentecostal church. I read on the sign when I walked in the door this afternoon that it was called the First Pentecostal Church. Amen. You can't be Pentecostal and not be apostolic. You can't be apostolic and not be Pentecostal. Praise the Lord, somebody. And one of the greatest experiences that anybody could possess is obeying the word of God. But before they obey the word of God, many times they've got to understand what it's telling them. Hallelujah. I guess I was an exception. Amen. I didn't quite understand it, but I just knew what it said. And I told the man, when the preacher there that day on that Friday morning when I was on this side of the pulpit in that church, and I was down there praying, and the preacher came with a Bible and said, you need to read this, son. And I read this word. I read this Bible. And you know, I might not have understood it, but I certainly found it in the scripture. And I said, you know what it says right there, that I need to get baptized in Jesus' name. So I told the preacher, I said, let's go ahead and do this because it says it right there in the word of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There is a great joy and gladness that comes when you get a revelation. You can read the word and have it in your house and read it every day and still not have the revelation of it. Some folks find that hard to believe, but that's exactly what happened to the religious elite of the days of Jesus. They had the word, they read it every day, but they did not understand what the word was telling them because they didn't have enough hunger in their heart to do the word. Hallelujah. Can I tell you tonight, right up there with receiving the Holy Ghost and getting baptized in Jesus' name is the day that God gives you a revelation, an eye-opening experience of what the Bible said. I'm going to tell you tonight, if the word can't get you excited, you're a sad case. Amen. But when I hear somebody talk about the word of the living God, it does something to me that I got to say, thank you, Jesus, for the word of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, somebody. They made great mirth. They had joy and gladness because they understood the words that were declared unto them. Jeremiah 15 and 16, he talked about the word of God and he said, thy words were found and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me joy and the rejoicing of mine heart, for I'm called by thy name, O Lord of hosts. His word was joy and the rejoicing of my heart. That's why Jeremiah said, it's just like fire shut up in my bones, because it was the joy of his life. Hallelujah. The Ethiopian eunuch, the Bible said, went his way rejoicing because he obeyed the word that God had given him. Praise the Lord. Romans 6 and 17, the Apostle Paul said, but God be thanked that you have obeyed the form of doctrine which was delivered you. Ezra 6 and 22, they kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy, for the Lord made them joyful. Hallelujah. You know, I don't know if I've ever shared this with you, but I was on my way back from Nashville, Tennessee, back to Wilmington, North Carolina, 1 year after I had got in the church. I had been in Nashville playing some music and at a recording studio recording my first gospel CD. It was at a church, a Pentecostal church, and we were recording my first gospel album. And you know, God has sometimes got a way that we don't understand. And any other time, I would have left Nashville on Highway 40 and drove 40 all the way to Wilmington, North Carolina. Well, it just so happened that was the time that they had a major rock slide on one of the sides of the mountains, and they had I-40 closed, and I had to drive through South Carolina and Georgia. And so I proceeded to head south, and anyways, met up with Interstate 20. I got on Interstate 20. It was late in the wee hours of the morning, and I was driving. And between Atlanta, once you get on the other side of Conyers, there ain't a whole lot between there and Augusta. And amen. And so here I was late at night, and my gas light came on. And back then, me and my wife, we were talking. You know, we had just came acquainted, whatever. And I asked her on the phone if she'd pray that I found a gas station. And so I was driving, just me by myself, and we were praying. And I found a light. I seen a light flickering in the distance. It was a truck stop. And I got off there at the truck stop. And I got out of the truck and walked in and gave the lady the last bit of cash that I had to get me some gas in my truck. I turned around, walked out. There's a man that walked up to me when I walked out of the door. He was wearing overalls, had holes in his britches leg, and he began to talk to me. He pointed to his truck that was sitting at the gas station, and he began to share with me this story. I don't remember all the details except for he had ran out of money and wanted some gas. You know, I don't mind helping people. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, but the problem was I just gave all the cash that I had, and I didn't have too much in my bank account to use my debit card. But I had given all the cash, and I started talking to this man, and I said, I wish I could help you. I just gave the last bit of cash to this to fill my truck up with gas. And I said, you know, I know this is going to sound crazy, but I believe in prayer, and I believe God can take care of you right now. And I was very young in my walk with God and in my ministry and all of that, but I guess I had so much zeal, I didn't care what people thought about me. I was going to tell them, you know, and praise the Lord. And so I said, you know, I know that God can take care of you tonight, and what we need to do is pray. And he said, I believe in the Bible, and he began to quote in Scripture to me. And we began to talk about the Word of God. The man was very, very well versed in the Word of the Lord. And we got to speaking about the new birth experience. You know how we Pentecostals do. If we get a chance, we're going to try to go that route. Praise the Lord. And so anyways, I got to talking to him about the new birth. I don't know how long we stood out there talking about this, about Jesus' name, baptism, and receiving the Holy Ghost. And I didn't get very detailed at first, but I just brushed the surface, or scratched the surface, if you will. And while we were speaking together, there was a car that pulled up right behind me. And they rolled the window down, and they yelled to this man, sir, you still need some gas? We'll help you. And so he went back to the car and began to talk with them. While he did that, I went to my truck. I filled up with gas. But what I had in my glove box was a bunch of tracks. I had Acts 2:38 tracks, Holy Ghost tracks, baptism in Jesus' name tracks, all kind of stuff. And, you know, I put those tracks in my pocket and pumping my gas and whatever. The man come walking out, and he started getting gas at his truck at the other pump. And so I walked over to him. And you know, this is crazy, but it is the truth. I text my wife. Of course, she wasn't my wife at the time. But I text her and I said, I want you to pray, because I believe that this man that I just met at this gas station is about to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And praise the Lord. And you know what? I just believe we ain't got a whole lot of time to try to do whatever we're going to do. We might as well go ahead and do what we're going to do. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I believe in getting them in the church house, but sometimes people don't make it to the church house. Hallelujah. Amen. We better do what we can when we have the opportunity. The Bible says, as we have therefore the opportunity, let us do good. And so anyways, you know, it's crazy. I text her that. I had the tracks in my pocket, and I walked up to the man, and this is the truth. The first thing he said is, do you have any literature about what you were just telling me about? And I said, well, it just so happens I do. And so I gave him these tracks. And so I walked over there to his truck, and you know, I got to thinking, you know, how can I try to witness to this man? And I don't have anything. Maybe some of y'all don't believe in that, but I, you know, it's kind of hard to say I love you and don't show you. You know what I'm saying? And so I thought, you know, I think I can spare $10 on my debit card. And I said, sir, I said, let me just get you $10 on my debit card. And so I put the card in, whatever. Looked on his back window, and maybe I was naive, maybe I was whatever, foolish, maybe you could say that, whatever, but I looked on his back window, and he had a bumper sticker, and at that time, I didn't know what the bumper sticker meant. I know what it means now. Some of you might know, some of you probably don't, whatever, it's all right, but this bumper sticker, it said, speak the language, and, you know, at the time, I wasn't as a profound of an outdoorsman as I try to be now. But it's a hunting company. And it says, speak the language. But I didn't know that. And so in my little simple country mind, I took that as confirmation that God was going to fill that man with the Holy Ghost. Call it silly, laugh, whatever, you know. But anyways, I just, when I saw that, it emboldened me even more. And so we're there talking, and this man was very well versed in the Bible. And so while he was pumping gas, finishing up there, I got him to walk with me to my truck. And I looked at him. His name was Williams, Mr. Williams. And I said, Mr. Williams, I just believe that it was God that ordained our meeting tonight, that God put us together for a particular purpose and reason. He said, you know, he said, as crazy as it sounds, I feel the same way. I said, let's walk to my truck. I had an old King James Version, a Tops and Chain Bible that a preacher had given to me. And I took this Bible out and I said, there's two reasons that God put us together here tonight, and opened up this Bible, and we went to Acts, the 19th chapter, where Paul, finding John's disciples, the first thing that he wanted to know from John's disciples is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? I said, Mr. Williams, it's very evident that you believe God and you believe this Bible. But I want to know tonight, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And so we kept on reading. And they had not heard whether there was any Holy Ghost, whether there was any such thing as a Holy Ghost. Amen. And then the Apostle Paul asked them, the second question is, unto what then were ye baptized? And so... I said, you know, Mr. Williams, I said, God has put us here together tonight because he wants you to take his name in a watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sins. And we read it, and the Bible said they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus when they heard this. I said, and then I asked him, I said, Mr. Williams, do you believe this? And I'll never forget it as long as I live. He looked at me and said, well, he said, how can I doubt it? I have to believe it. Because I just read it in the Bible. You tonight, that God can bless that kind of obedience. As long as the Word says it, I believe it, I'm going to obey it. Hallelujah. Glory to God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And so, praise the Lord. I said, Mr. Williams, God wants you to get baptized in Jesus' name. And I watched him. He walked away from me. And I'm kind of like, I can't hardly believe this is going on. We're at a gas station. I'm right there at the pump. And we're talking about this. He walks away from me. And I didn't know what, so I was just kind of staring at him to see what he was going to do. Well, he went to the trash can. Y'all know the trash cans they have by the gas pumps, you know? He went to the trash can and took the lid off. I didn't understand exactly what he was doing, but when he grabbed the bag out of that trash can and got it wrapped around his hand and began to pull it up, he said, do you think that I can get baptized in this tonight? Hey! Brother, that's when you really want to obey God, when you're willing to do whatever. Can I tell you tonight, that's where revival is. That's where the blessing comes, when you just want to do whatsoever the Word of God says for me to do. Glory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I have to admit to you tonight, that in retrospect, I probably would have tried to either baptize him in that or a ditch. Amen. But, you know, I was so young. I'd only been in church about a year. And now I'd seen some things. Saw Leon's testimony that I shared with you. But anyways, I said, you know, I said, I'll get your number and we'll hook you up with a good church. We'll get you connected to a good pastor, good church, that'll be glad to baptize you in Jesus' name. So that's what I did. And he said, well, he said, you said it was two reasons why that you felt like God put us together tonight. And I said, yes, sir. He said, well, what's the other one? And I handed him the Bible, and I said, keep reading. Verse number 5 said, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them and they spake with tongues. I said, Mr. Williams, I said, God wants to fill you tonight with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Do you believe it? And he said it again. He said, I just read it in the Bible. I have to believe it. Hallelujah. I said, well, what we need to do is we need to pray right now. I said, first thing we've got to do is we're going to have to repent. I can't repent for you and you can't repent for me, but we're going to have to pray together. I'm going to pray with you, but we're going to have to pray, both of us. You've got to pray and I've got to pray. I said, do you believe it? He said, yes, sir. I said, all right, let's pray right now and ask God to have mercy on us and to forgive us of everything that we've ever done. And we need to tell God that we're ready for a brand new life. Hallelujah. And so he bowed his head right there at the gas pump and got to praying. I won't ever forget it. He prayed sincere, humble prayer that night. Amen. And we stood there. There was other people getting gas at different pumps. Amen. But you know, I didn't have time to think about what everybody else was thinking about this, because it was the life or death of a man's soul. Hallelujah. And so prayed a little while like that, and he stopped praying, and I asked him, how do you feel? And he said, you know, he said, I feel a little bit better. And I said, you know, God, if you've really repented, if you've really asked God to forgive you, and you really want a brand new life, God will fill you with the Holy Ghost right now. And I said, all you need to do is lift up your hands and receive it if you believe it. And he said, yes, sir. And you know, this is the truth. That man lifted up both his hands right there at the gas pump. And he got to praising the Lord. And he got to thanking God for the Holy Ghost before he ever got it. He just kept saying, God, I thank you for the Holy Ghost. It wasn't 30 seconds went by. That man was speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gave him the utterance. Hey! The point that I want to bring out tonight is this. The very minute that that man began to speak with other tongues, there was a smile that came upon his face. And I could see the joy of the Lord that illuminated his soul. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. He was talking in tongues. Smiling. He was smiling because he took the word of God. And he just, that's what it says. That's what I'm going to do. And this is the truth. I know it sounds crazy. I know a lot of things I say sound crazy. But anyways, the truth is, while we were praying and this man was talking in tongues, there was people that, you know, they were all at other gas pumps and getting gas and folks were staring at us. But while we were still praying, I noticed out of the corner of my eye, there was a sheriff car that pulled up. And I thought to myself, you know, I want to be like Paul and Silas, but not tonight. And I said, Mr. Williams, I believe we need to go. And I got his number, and I got in my truck, and he got in his truck, and I left. And I called him later, and I won't ever forget it. He said, you know, he said, I cannot hardly believe. I never would have imagined that I would feel God so strong at a gas station that I would go to speaking in tongues. And anyways, so I'm driving back down Interstate 20, and I realized, I looked over in my seat, and my Bible wasn't there. This was a very special Bible. The same man that gave me this guitar right here. Now, he gave me this guitar later on. But the same man that gave me that guitar gave me that Bible. It was a Thompson Chain Bible. Had his markings in it. And I thought, oh, no. I didn't know what I'd done with that Bible. And I had already been down the interstate going 80 miles an hour. Praise God. Amen. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, you know, so I stopped, and I was on the side of the interstate. And I don't know why I thought to look on the top of my truck. But would you believe that Bible was laying on the top of my truck? Hey, God has a way of confirming His word. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm preaching about the joy of revival tonight. Amen. I'm getting ready to close, but there was another time that I was preaching at a church several states away, and we were having revival. There was a pastor. He was a young man, had not been there very long. It was his first revival that he had ever had while he was the pastor of this church. And in this revival, there was a lady that was a faithful member of that church, but she had suffered from depression for a long, long time. And the doctors had prescribed her very high amounts of antidepressant medicine that she was taking. And one night, during the revival, this lady stood up and she said, "Pastor, I want to testify." And so she got to telling how that she was addicted to these antidepressants for a long time. And she said, "I just wanted to tell you, Pastor, and I wanted to tell this church, but the other night during revival, something got a hold of me." And she said, "Ever since that night, I have not felt the need to take any of those antidepressant pills." And can I tell you, that lady still delivered and still in the church today, and that's been 2011. Because there is joy in revival. In that same revival, and I close with this, musicians come, praise the Lord. And in that same revival, there was a young man that sat on the front row in that church. He was 13, maybe 14, somewhere in there. And I won't ever forget, but his dad took him to revival every service. His granddaddy was in his late 70s, perhaps early 80s. And there was a gigantic drum that sat on this side of the platform. And there was this young man that sat on the front row in the process of that revival, or in the period of time during that revival. There were several people that got the Holy Ghost. The young man's dad had brought a co-worker to revival, and the co-worker had never been to a Pentecostal church, and he got the Holy Ghost. And so this young man is seeing his dad's co-worker laying there on the floor, weeping and crying and talking in tongues. His granddaddy, that sat a few rows behind, he was a very small frame man, very thin man, and he would get up and walk down that side aisle, and he'd grab a hold of that big old mallet, and he'd go to beating that drum. I won't ever forget that. And this man would beat that drum. Well, you know, in revival, as an evangelist, you try to reach for everybody because you understand that Jesus wants to save the broken fragments, that nothing be lost. And so there was people getting the Holy Ghost. This lady had testified of her deliverance. But this young man that sat right there, daddy brought the co-worker and his granddaddy beating the drums, and I won't ever forget that man running the aisles. He would beat that drum, and he'd go to run the aisles in that church. This is just a few years ago. And so this young man sat right there, and I'd go to preaching, and I'd go to walking down those aisles. And sometimes you can get around folks, and you can just feel the dark cloud. And every time I'd grab them or have the microphone and walk down and walk in front of that young man, I could feel the young man never smiled. He never spoke to anybody. He was 13 or 14 years old. And in that revival, I got a burden for that young man. And we had several people getting the Holy Ghost, had already received the Holy Ghost about 3 weeks into this revival. And one Sunday night, I was praying up under the pew in that church. Me and the pastor, we decided we were going to go old school and crawl up under the pews.
And so we had stayed at the church all day long, me and this preacher, the pastor. And we had crawled up under the pews. He was up under one of these, and I was back in the very back. And I've never had this happen, but God does things differently. But I was sitting up under that pew. I was on my back, and I was weeping and crying. And while I was praying, just praying for revival and praying for the services, I seen the young man in my mind. I saw his face as I was praying. And I felt, if I'd ever felt the spirit of intercessory prayer, I felt it for this young man. And it never happened before, and it's not happened since. But while I was praying for this young man, I got a message. It just came to me. Usually messages come little by little. But this particular night, I got the scripture. I got everything I was going to say. And I got the title of the message while I was laying under that pew praying for this young man. And I got up from under that pew. And I was just, you know, when you tap into the spirit, you kind of sometimes you don't really know everything that's going on. You know, it's just you and God. And I had done went up to the front, grabbed hold of the pulpit, and I was weeping and crying and praying. And well, I didn't know it. People were starting to come in. The service was fixing to start. I had 20 minutes. And I turned around. I went upstairs. They had Sunday school rooms upstairs. And I went up there, and they had some paper that the young kids were drawing with and different things. And I got this paper, and I wrote down everything that I felt like the Lord had given me up under that pew. And I didn't have long, but I'm telling you, I was writing it fast as I could. And I walked down just as they were starting the music. But you know, I felt a strong pull for this young man. And come to find out, this young man, he suffered from deep, 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 deep depression. I happen to believe it was a spirit of depression that had latched itself upon this young man's life. His daddy was trying to live for God. His mama didn't want anything to do with church. Well, that's hard to believe. But anyway, I got up on the platform, had my Bible, and had that little piece of paper. Very simple message. But I'm telling you, I got to preaching and preaching and screaming and hollering and carrying on. I was reaching for that young man. Well, I didn't know it. There was a 12-year-old young man that was in service that night. It was his first time to be in a Pentecostal church. And I was preaching. I was reaching for this man, the young man that sat on the front row. Well, I won't ever forget. I don't tell this. I think I've only told this one time. I'm sharing stuff with y'all. But man, I got so worked up. Boy, I was just, it's almost like I was beating the air. It was like I was boxing, you know. I was really fighting the devil. And, man, I did something while I was preaching, and I pulled something in my arm. And you talk about hurt. And it's never went away. It's never went away. And every now and then when I get in revival and I get to feeling that burden and I get to preaching, and I'll feel it, you know. But I don't let it stop me. But I gave the altar call, closed my Bible, and I gave the altar call. That 12-year-old young man that had never been to a Pentecostal church, he came right down in front of where that other young man was sitting, and he got right in front of him down at the altar, weeping and crying, and God filled him with the Holy Ghost. Well, there was another young man that was in the service that night. He had been to the church. He'd come sometimes on Sunday morning to Sunday school. I don't remember how old he was 9 years old. I remember now. He was not. There was this other young man was 9 years old that came right down on the other side of the 12-year-old young man, and he started weeping and crying, and God filled him with the Holy Ghost. Man, we were shouting and we was praising God and worshiping the Lord, and everybody's praying and carrying on. But I knew that the message that I had was for this young man sitting up on this front row. And so here these
other two young men speaking in tongues and weeping and crying. And I don't do this very much, but that night I walked up to that young man and I said, "Brother, I'm just telling you, tonight is your night. And God wants to destroy that spirit of depression that has kept you captive for so long." I said, "You see those young men down there praying?" I just told him, I said, "God wants to do the same thing to you right now. We need to pray." He didn't say anything. Most of the time, if somebody don't say anything, I leave them be, because, you know. But I got to praying, and I knew it was God. I knew it was God. And I was praying for this young man. And the boy's granddaddy came and started praying. And his father came and started praying. And different people from the church gathered around this young man. I'm talking about somebody who'd never spoke one word. I'd never heard him or seen him speak one word. We had been there 3 weeks, several services during the 3 weeks, never speak one word. And just walked around, just head hung down, always looked sad. We prayed and 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 felt like that we were not getting anywhere. But I looked up while we were praying. We had prayed for several minutes, and that young man had one tear come down one side of his face. And I realized then that we were getting somewhere and that we just needed to keep on praying. Praise the Lord. And so we kept on praying. And when I saw that tear, the intensity of my prayer began to shift. And the intensity of everybody else's prayer began to shift. Well, I guess I just need to go ahead and tell you, that young man dropped to his knees and started weeping to God and praying on his own accord. And that night, that young man received the gift of the Holy Ghost. I want you to know tonight that when he got the Holy Ghost, I seen it on him just like I saw it in Mr. Williams at the gas station. When that young man got to speaking in tongues, there was a smile that came upon his face as the joy of the Lord began to do something inside of him. Telling you, there is joy. There's no need to walk around in depression, in guilt, feeling defeated. God wants to be the lifter up of your head tonight. Somebody ought to say, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Can I tell you, that was in 2011. Praise the Lord. I came back to the church 1 year later, and the young man, I didn't tell y'all the rest of that, but that night when we left, the boy was hugging everybody, hugged my neck, walked up to the pastor and said, "Pastor, I just want to," I didn't even know he could talk. Praise the Lord. Amen. And he said, "Pastor," he said, "I just want to tell you that I appreciate you not giving up on me." Hallelujah. Came back to the church 1 year later, and he was still sitting on the front row. Amen. But he had a tambourine in his hand, and he had a smile on his face. And God was still the lifter up. Hey, I just want to tell you tonight that it is revival time. It is blessing time. It is time for joy. It's time for joy. Somebody lift your hands tonight. Somebody lift your hands tonight. Oh, thank you, Jesus. He can't tell you. Somebody ought to pray in the Holy Ghost right now. You ought to pray in the Holy Ghost right now. You ought to tell God, thank you. I went back to the church. It was another year later, and that young man that never talked to anybody, that never spoke to anybody, amen. You know, this time, 2 years after he got the Holy Ghost, I came back to that church, and he was standing on the platform, and he was singing with the praise team, and he still had the tambourine in his hand. I'm telling you tonight that it is the devil's business to keep you depressed and under guilt and feeling shame and defeated tonight. You need to go ahead and let God break that chain tonight. You need to let God unlock that prison door tonight. You need to let the anointing of the Holy Ghost destroy that yoke that is upon you. You ought to get out of that church pew. You ought to make your way down that aisle tonight and say, God, I'm here. I receive it. I receive it. The joy is mine. The joy is mine. He comes to your level. Do you feel that way tonight? I want you to come down here. Come down to this altar right now while the Spirit is here, while the power is high. Why don't you make your way right now and say, God, I believe it. It's time for my revival. It's time for joy in my life. It's time that I have a smile on my face. Come on, somebody, right now. He comes to your level and they begin to sing. Come on. Come on, you might as well let go and let God tonight. You might as well let go. You might as well shout a little bit. Thank you.
We'll be right back. Thank you.